decide to wear them down even, but they get crooked, and so that would make an indentation on the terrielle when it welded. So we have to learn how to change our electrodes too, get new ones and put in, and see that the water come up and cool them off.
Now, what piece exactly were you welding? What part of the plane?
Well, there's one cowling which goes around the motor, and then the cargo doors. And the cargo doors had a hoist that lifted it. They were so heavy, and sometimes it took two people to hold them steady along with the hoist. And then there was these big wing things and flaps, you know, the flaps on the airplane to stop them. And the air ducts. Just about everything. Just about everything. Huh?
You said you worked the graveyard shift?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you choose that shift, or was it assigned to you?
Yes, I did, for a real reason. I was home when the children went to bed, and I was home in time to get them up to go to school. Mm-hmm. Now, that was only 6 hours and a half, but I got paid for eight, but I got an 8-cent bonus. So, money-wise, it was better, but that wasn't the real reason. The real reason was for the children. I wanted to be home when they were awake, and I was. See, I might be sleeping, but I was still aware. I was. I could be called at any time.
Was there much overtime?
Yes, every Saturday and quite a few Sundays, yes. But you were asked if Saturday during the war was, we were expected to do that. But Sunday we were asked if we would. But after the war we were asked if we wanted Saturday or Sunday, and there was both of that too.
Did you choose to work on Sundays very often?
Quite a bit. I was still trying to raise two children. Broken arms did come in. Appendix operation. Yep. They were expensive. And it was all up to me.
Did you ever get any raises
while you were there? Oh, yes. Every 3 months we got raises the first year. And the next year, we got them periodically. But I know it was every 3 months to start out. I can't remember how it was after that. And then after I went back in 1950, it was only union offered what they bargained for. But matter of fact, I can't complain on Douglas at all. No way. They treated us very nice.
You said they moved you around from building to building. When you would go from one building to another, would that be a promotion?
Oh, no, not really. No, that was where they needed help. That's where they needed somebody to do that job. And so there's some of the girls refused to go because they would be on one machine, and they decided that was their machine. I never felt that way. I always felt that that belonged, that was government. And well, maybe I helped pay for it and all that. It still wasn't mine. And I was supposed to do a job. I was supposed to go where I was asked to go. And when anything got slack in the potwalled area, and they were piled up with work someplace else, and they asked me to do some sanding or buffing, I'd go there. It was clear out of my department. And they even asked me to go in where they were doing this laminating. And some of the girls just refused to go. And I figured, it's a job. The pay was the same. But I don't know how it was in that, whether it was more or less in the department I went into, but I still went because my pay wasn't going to be affected. This was, I was paid to work, and I expected to give it out.
Did you ever receive any promotions during that time?
Well, promotion, I would say yes. I got to be a mechanic welder.
And how was that different than?
More pay. Mm-hmm. There was only one. I got, I was the A. Let's see. You went in as a B and you worked up to an A. And then from an A to a mechanic, if you could.
And was it welding different things, using different machinery?
Well, the mechanic's supposed to know how to set up every machine, all of them. Supposed to have worked on every machine there, which I had done. And I could do it. I probably could still go back and do it if they haven't changed the machine too much. I don't think there was more than two of us women who ever got to be mechanic welders. Three, maybe. And I was offered the lead, but I never wanted it. I had too many problems at home, and problems on the job would upset me too much. So there is that conflict. A man, I had been acted as a lead, and the men do not take orders from a woman. Now, not that I said, you do this, I would go the other route, will you do this? But they wouldn't accept that. They were a man. So I never wanted to get into that kind of rut. You might call it a rut, but there is, the men resent this, and I wasn't about to cause that resentment. Not for me.
How did you feel personally about the things that you were learning and your growing competency around the machinery and that kind of thing?
Oh, I felt good about that. I think I must have been mechanically inclined in order to have taken this on. Because I always liked to do things even around home. I did all the inside building in my home that I bought. And I could put up shelves, I could readjust the lawnmower, and I could even take it apart and put it back together again. So I must have had some inclination there.
During the time that you worked during the war, was the pace of work fairly consistent?
Yes, very. Mm-hmm.
There were not times when you were expected to produce more, or where times were slow and
well, we all tried to see it how much we could put out. And now in the flooring, the flooring is that part that they walk on when they go into a plane. It had a wavy inner thing that was spot welded onto the flat. And that had to be, you had to use a hook to pull that because they were so big and heavy. And it was on rollers. And we tried to see if we couldn't put out as many as, well, we'd see if we couldn't put out more than the others. Always that competition, you know. Just like at Maid Company. When I was, I made some cushions for the Davenports and chairs that were being reupholstered. I'd sit there and make them day after day. And the one day I made, I think I made 30. And the boss says, "Tomorrow see if you can't make 31. So I think that kind of always had its impact on me. And it made me try and produce.
What, was there a minimum quota at all?
No, not really. No, there wasn't. A machine will only work so fast. And you can't drive a car faster than it'll go. No. No, there was no minimum at any time. We just tried. This was within our own selves that we tried.
How would you begin and end your shift? Like, did you have specific materials that were yours that you were working on that you kept someplace, or did you just take over where the last shift left off?
Mm-hmm. Wherever they left off, why, we... they had specified that you leave it alone, we leave that there's alone. But otherwise, we just took right over right from where they left off.
And then how did inspection work?
Inspection?
Yeah. After you were through
After we were all through it, then it was taken into the inspection area.
It was a separate area that you took? Except the
your...
And did you just leave them there, or...?
No. When it got into the inspection area, then it was carted to the next operation, okay. Assembly.
Mm-hmm. So you took it and left it in mm-hmm. inspection, and then after it was inspected, it went on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes the inspector would come into the department and look at it, and then it would be taken right from our department right to where it was going to go next. Life raft doors were... one of the things that they did that a lot of.
Were the inspectors men or women?
Well, they were all men, so far as I ever saw them. All men. Mm-hmm.
What was plant security like? Plant security? As far as...
Well, when you went in... You had to open up your lunchbox and your pocketbook. And they looked. Because I remember one time I had forgotten my badge, and I had to go down to badge control and get another badge. And they said, "Now don't give this to the policeman at the gate. Bring it back to badge inspection." So... when I went to work that next night, I had my badge on, but this badge that they had given me, I had in my pocketbook. And the policeman at the gate was a woman, real hawkeye. She says, "Where'd you get that badge?" She says, "I want it." I said, "No, they told me to give that back to badge inspection, and that's what I'm going to do." She says, "Come down to the police station with me." I'm like, "Okay." So I went down to the police station with her. they said, why won't you give that extra badge up? I said, they told me not to give it back at the gate, to give it back to badge control. I said, if you want to contact badge control, fine. When they did, fine. So I went on. But, oh, they watched. They were very, yeah. And then, of course, they passed through the department, and they'd go through several times a day. You never knew when one was going to show up. And, oh, yes, they were right there on the job.
What about in the bathrooms?
Went in there to see that nobody loafed. That wasn't one of my hang-ups. I never liked the odor.
Was there much...
There's one incident there. Okay. There were a lot of women who did go. They had couches in the ladies. And I saw this blonde policewoman coming, and I knew she was going to go into the restroom. So I was working just a short way from there, so I went over to the door, and I said, "Get up, girls, quick and out." And, you know, and then I went back to my machine. I didn't go in. I just went to the door. The police woman got there just a few seconds after. And some of them come out. And they said, "Gee, Addie, I'm glad you said that." And the police woman came out. I said, "Hi." And she came over and she said, "Did you know anything about those women in there?" I said, "Oh, I knew there was some in there. Yeah, there's always somebody in there wanting the one that's coming." She says, "Boy, you should have seen the floor." But if she found somebody in there just loafing, she would give them a reprimand. And, I knew the girls really weren't spending that much time in there, but I knew that they were in there and just talking, because working that close to the door, you can't help but see who goes in and out. Maybe I was wrong, but I don't think I was too wrong. Then there was the smoking thing. Before they allowed smoking, that was the worst thing that they ever did, allowed smoking on the job. I never smoked myself. I never asked you if you did.
I don't know.
There was some of the girls. Well, there was one little girl. This was during the war. And she was just 18. And she was scared to death. And the lead man knew it. And he used to just give her the worst time. And she went outside, just out the door, and smoked a cigarette one day. And he caught her. He told her, he says, I'm going to turn your name in. And she was scared. "You're going to get fired." She says, "You'll get fired because you're not supposed to smoke on the job. You're not supposed to be outside either." He was just giving her a rough time. And it was going to be on some holiday. It was the last day before the holiday. She went to the restroom and she cried. And I went down there and she told me about it. So I went back to the apartment when I went back, the lead man said, "Did you see Wanda down in the restroom?" And I said, "Yeah, I saw her down there." He said, "What was she doing, sitting down there gabbing?" I said, all she was waiting for Booth to get into. Then I had to find Wanda. So I watched when she came back from the restroom. I said, "Come in here." I said, "You were waiting for a Booth, and don't you forget it." I said, "Now you get back to your machine." And I says, "Remember, you were waiting for a Booth." So she was still worried. So she came over, and she says, "Yeah, sure, thank you for telling me what to say." I said, "All right, Wanda." But I said, "Now, don't you believe him when he says that you're going to get a reprimand for smoking outside. You're not. He's just trying to get at you to get you worried." And I said, "Wasn't right, but on the other hand, don't do it again." And I told him, I said, "Now, this is before a holiday. And there'll be 3 days when she won't be working. You go over and tell her that you're not going to put that reprimand in." He says, "Aw, you're spoiling all my fun." And I said, "Yeah, but just think what I'm going to do to her." I said, "She's just a kid. It's her first job." I said, "Don't do that to anybody." So she still writes to me. She lives in Texas now. Married to a truck driver. But it had little incidences that I didn't break the rules exactly, but it doesn't hurt to give a little. Mm-hmm. You can't be all that strict. And then when cigarette smoking did come in, oh, there was more cigarette butts around my machine than there was any place. And I hated it. My daughter smokes. I hate it. Mm. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, I like fair play.
Were there incentives for production? Or signs around saying, around wasting materials and those kinds of things?
Well, what they did, they gave out the E-pins for conservation of material and production, mm-hmm. The two of them combined. I don't know what ever happened to my pin, but it had a little E in it, the E-award. And our department got several E awards.
So you were aware of the need
to conserve? We were aware that we were to conserve. And production was our country. What better incentive do you have?
Was there ever any talk about sabotage? One woman that we've interviewed said that she was nervous that when she made a mistake, someone would think she was trying to sabotage the work, that she was frightened about that and didn't want...
Well, probably like this one lead man was, it probably was more like him trying to scare her into something rather than... the real sabotage. I never heard of any sabotage.
But you weren't told not
no.
to do it or
oh,
to
no.
be, watch out for it or those
well,
kinds of things.
We were told to the same thing. Conserve material. Do a good job and see that it goes through, rather than do a ship shot job and have it rejected. Same thing. Mm-hmm. No, probably it was explained to us differently. But mine was never a fear that there was going to be a sabotage or anything like that. No.
Did you ever read the Douglas newspaper?
Oh, yes. I get the air scoop now. Yeah, they stopped sending it to me, so I wrote them a card and wanted to know why. So they sent me one special.
But during the war, did you?
Well, there was a little leaflet that came out. Yes, I read it.
Mm-hmm. What was it like?
Well, it told the things that were going on, and it different personnel that was coming in. Somebody returned. And about the E Awards coming up, and no, it was just more or less just informing us what was going on within the plant.
There was a magazine that came out from Douglas Santa Monica that covered, it was like a slick magazine that covered Santa Monica, El Segundo, and Long Beach. I'm wondering if you ever saw that.
Never. No, and I'd like to, I saw them once, but during the early part of, well, I don't think I had been employed more than 2 months anyway, when Walt Disney came in and he was taking pictures of their different jobs. Was chosen to be one of the spot welders to illustrate what I was doing. That was when I was on the handgun. And he took our pictures, took my picture and during the operation and everything. When I got through, everybody all from all around came over and wanted me to sign my autograph. So I signed Grape Nuts.
Do you still have that picture?
They have it. I don't. Definitely it's a moving picture.
Oh, it's a moving picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and later they took one of a lead woman on the wingskin machines. She's showing how we would cut the spot weld in half and polish it to see the nugget that welded, see whether it was a good nugget or whether it had holes in it. And I have seen those pictures too. I only saw this one movie once. They showed the war pictures and how the wing skins were on a table, and the table moved. The skin was clamped to the table, and the table moved, and the spot weld was automatic. As long as you kept your foot on the, you didn't even have to keep your foot on it. It was automatic. You pushed a button, and two buttons, and it started the table and the weld. And you just sat there and watched it move. When electrodes needed cleaning, you would have to watch the welds so that you could clean the electrodes. Then you'd have to send the cable all the way back so that you could get down and clean the electrodes. But you were sitting up above the world. You didn't hold anything. Sleepy job.
When did you see these movies? Did they show them to you during the war?
Yes, out there. They have them someplace. They have my retirement pictures out there, but my foreman never sent them to me. Some of the other girls have theirs. This one in Kernville, she has hers. See, when I retired, they gave me an oven, electric oven. So big. It was nice. They gave her one, too. But, like I said, we retired at the same time. Well, I was 2 months ahead of her, but I retired 2 months early. So, cut down on Social Security, but I was tired. I was ready.